global company. Just always have in the back of your mind, you know, those global nuances. Always have this as a consideration. Do things need to be said differently? If so, do things need to be translated differently? Factor that into your plan. How long will that take, etc.? Because that could also delay your launch, etc. So just always have that in your mind and feed that into your plans as you're developing your campaigns.
Hello and welcome to Masters of Comms, the podcast for transformative communication techniques straight from the pros. I'm Lamar Williams, host of Masters of Comms, as well as head of partnerships at Sociable. Engagement isn't just about communication, it's about recognition. When employees feel valued, they're more motivated, more involved, and more committed to the company's success. But how do you make recognition meaningful? And how do you communicate reward programs in a way that truly resonates with employees? That's where today's guest comes in. Today, I'm joined by Rochelle Oakley, internal communication business partner at Beazley. She's spent years shaping internal communication strategies that drive engagement, retention, and company culture. Today, she's sharing how Beazley designed and rolled out a new shared incentive plan that boosted employee participation and reinforced a culture of recognition. Rochelle, hello. Welcome to Masters of Comms.
Hi, Lamar. Hello, listeners. Thank you for having me.
It's great to have you. And just before we dive in, can you introduce yourself and tell us what led you into the world of internal comms?
I've worked in communications for several years now across the financial services sector and now insurance. But I think like most people, I would say I fell into it, but I've always had a passion for effective storytelling. I've always had a passion for amplifying voices, those who are not necessarily get to speak or be at the forefront of organizations or, you know, their own stories. So I think internal comms for me was just like a no-brainer, and I've enjoyed it ever since.
That's fantastic. For those who really may not be familiar with Beazley, can you give us a quick overview of the company and your role?
Sure. So Beazley is a global specialty insurer, and we have operations across Europe, North America, Latin America, and Asia. Essentially, we provide our clients with the highest standards of underwriting and claim services, and our product lines include things like cyber liability, property, marine reinsurance, and much more. For me, I'm based in the UK, in London to be specific, and my role is, you know, not one day is the same. I partner with members of our executive committee, their leadership teams, and stakeholders globally to essentially devise plans and strategically advise on all things internal communications. My job is to make sure that, you know, our activities and campaigns really align with our business priorities and strategy. You know, I wouldn't be, you know, where I am now if I wasn't in an amazing team who also, you know, support on employee engagement initiatives and our events. And we help to bring to life our values, you know, through effective storytelling, essentially just making sure that employees understand their role that they play in the business, no matter where they sit within the organization.
Let's jump right in. Today, we're talking about reward incentive programs, which I think are great to boost engagement, but they can be also complex, especially in financial services like yours. Can you walk us through how you designed and implemented communications for Beazley's new shared incentive plan?
Yeah, sure. So I think for this example, as you know, it was a new plan. It's a plan that was already going to complement something that we already have. So we already have like what we call a savings plan already in place. And essentially the whole purpose of it is just to, you know, support employees, give them the opportunity to essentially boost their share ownership within the company. So basically to play a part in the company's success. So how I approached it is kind of how I approach any kind of comms plan or anything that I get involved with. I call it the expert gathering piece, right? So I sat down with the experts, my stakeholders, which in this case was the really, really great reward team and the corporate governance teams, because they understand the mechanics of the plan, right? I'm not going to lie, like they understand the technicalities, they understand the numbers, they understand the weeds of it. So I had to sit down with them, understand what does the plan look like? What does success look like? What are we trying to achieve when rolling out this campaign? What does good look like? I'm a real firm believer in not discounting things that have already been done in the past, more to understand what kind of lessons can we learn. And like I said earlier, this isn't a new thing to Beazley, right? So things like this have been communicated before. So I went in there asking the experts, what's new? what worked before when we communicated something like this? And if we had a chance to do it again, what would we do differently? So I just, you know, gathered all that information and made note of all of that. Once I kind of got that, my next kind of question was, well, who's our exec sponsor in this? Who's the face? Who's going to be our buy-in? Who could we use and leverage to help support engagement when we start rolling this out? So having this included in the plans from the beginning was really, really important for me. And that's what we did. And then finally, when speaking to the experts, obviously this is what we call like a more formal reward kind of scheme or recognition plan, if you like. So you need to just also make sure that you have your legal considerations in place. Is there anything that we need to be sure that we can say versus what we can't? So in this case, we're not financial advisors, right? So the call to action throughout the plan needed to be that actually one of the call to actions for employees was actually with you may need to go and get yourself some financial advice. So that is very, very key. And, you know, we work for big organizations, so you always need to have your legal considerations in place. So the second thing I did was, to, you know, all the comms professionals listening, they know this, is knowing your audience, right? So looking at your staff. So for example, in this particular case, the scheme was being rolled out to all staff. Some are already on plans. To some, it may be. This is a new concept, right? The jargon, they're not well-versed in what a plan looks like or a share scheme is. So you have to take that all into consideration. And then also knowing your audience as communications professionals, especially those of us that work in-house, I find we often forget that we are also employees because we're so used to supporting the business. So I went in from my own perspective. I questioned, what's new to me? Do I understand what they're talking about? Is there anything that I really want to know? This is what I need to know. And then what kind of information would I need to have to be able to consider opting into such a plan or not? So that's kind of how I approach that. And then I think the last piece is, and I can broaden this out a bit. Some people may find this useful. Assess your partnerships, because this is not essentially run by us. We invest, we have partnerships, we have providers that support us in running these plans. As part of that arrangement, we thought about what collateral would they be giving us? What sort of things would they be providing us that we can also use to communicate to our employees? I baked this into the plan too, because this is essential. Because what language would they use? How do their brochures and things look? Can you give me some examples of what has been done before? Bake that into the plan. And then thinking about, does it align with your own tone, your own identity? In Beasley's case, we've worked with them before, so there wasn't much work to do. But it was essential that we had this from the beginning. And that'll be my top tip, is to advise anyone listening, if you're working with a third party in anything that you're doing, make sure you try and get as much information from the beginning. This will help with the editing and approval process down the line.
Fantastic. I mean, three great things to learn from this experience. So expert gathering, you really need to get your stakeholders involved from the very beginning. You need to know who your audience is, and assessing your partnerships, something I hadn't always thought about, because you never think about the external partners that you're working with and getting those pieces of collateral aligned with what you're trying to achieve. Outside of all that, if we go beyond the formal rewards that you're talking about, how does fostering a culture of recognition impact overall company culture? And maybe how can this be communicated effectively within the internal communication channels?
Recognition does impact company culture, but it cannot be done in isolation. And especially when we're looking at the world of work today, right? Employees are, you know, and rightly so, they're demanding much more from the organization. We have to show up in much more ways than we probably had to do many, many years ago. So it is important, but it cannot be done on its own. And what I mean that, look, we're all human, right? And I think everyone wants to feel valued and recognized for being part of something that's either, you know, bigger than themselves, or, you know, or at least if it aligns with their own personal morals, goals, and ambitions. We all know being recognized helps to boost morale. It does increase employee engagement and also can help with retention, right? But it's just one part, I feel, of the employee experience. So for me, it doesn't matter if you have a structured or informal, you know, recognition program as part of your culture. If other factors that make up culture is not there, such as your company values, are you even exemplifying your company values? If there's a lack of trust across the organization, is there fear? You know, are people scared? Are people, you know, having those Monday woes? Is there a clear direction on your strategy or your purpose? doesn't matter if you've got recognition programs, it's not going to work. So, and that could lead to disengagement as well. So that's what I mean about not having it in its isolation. All the other things need to be intact too. But if you do, how can it be communicated effectively? I would say always start with your values. You know, what are they? Do they make sense? Are they easily can they easily be exemplified across the organization? What makes you special? And then you start deciding, okay, what tangible behaviors will actually be recognized and applauded within your organization? And how can this be done on a consistent basis across the board? So it becomes learned behavior and everyone knows what to do, how to show up, and then being recognized and applauded for it. I'll give you an example. So many organizations, I've worked in a few that have this. If you recognize high performance, for example, or behavior that exceeds expectations, right? What does that even mean? You know, are these even clearly defined? Are they even shared amongst employees? You know, there's been so many times in my career that I've seen where employees think that they're doing these things, they're high performers or they're going above and beyond. But then it comes to performance time and the organization is saying that they're not. But why not? Where's the misalignment? It's not clear. So that's what I mean about recognition. It needs to be consistent and it needs to be clear on what people are supposed to do. One of the ways to do it is to obviously have it somewhere stored that people can go to. So if you've got an intranet, for example, the classic SharePoint, you know, there's no point having it stuck in some behind the scenes. It needs to be up front and center. It needs to be updated regularly if things change. People need to know where to go to see this information. And also leaders and everyone across the organization needs to be displaying what these behaviors look like so that it just becomes a norm.
That's really great. Consistent communication across all channels is just as important, and knowing and sharing the same values. So it's great to hear that. But when people hear rewards, they often think of bonuses or financial incentives. But do you think that non-monetary rewards can be just as impactful?
Good question. I think, yes, 100% I agree. I think they can. And actually, I've seen actually more so that where it actually has worked in more than the financial incentives. Look, we're in a time where, you know, like I said, employees are demanding much more from workplaces. There's much more to money now. We're looking at, you know, people are really starting to consider what's important to them. You know, how does the organizations and things that we're doing day to day, how does that align with our morals, our values, ourselves, right? So yes, I do think it works. And I think an example of that could be peer-to-peer recognition, right? So platforms, you know, especially HR platforms I've seen where you can give a peer a thank you card, or you can align a card with your value just to say this person's gone above and beyond, or this person did some tremendous work for me. Those work really, really well. It's something so simple, but it works. We're in the office more often, right? When someone's done something that you feel deserves a thank you, how many times are you thanking them for being in person? Those things mean the most. Have somebody worked or collaborated you on a project? Going out for lunch together? You know, those for me, they aren't necessarily non-monetary rewards, but it's the experiences. It's that going above and beyond, just making someone feel like they are valued and recognized. I think that works really, really, really well. And I think another way that I've seen it work really well is in town halls and meetings that we have, whether that be company-wide within your own teams or your own functions, keeping the conversation going. You know, are we talking about who's helped us? Are we talking about recognition as a whole? So people know what to do and things. So it's not just about the money side. I mean, that helps, of course, and, you know, cost of living and all that. But it's a bit more than that. It's feeling valued. It's valuing that experience too that we have with our colleagues and the organization's culture.
Yeah, I hear and appreciate what you're saying. Peer-to-peer, I think, is a great example of boosting or offering something different than the monetary types of rewards. But that makes me think of, what types of rewards have you found to be most effective in actually boosting employee engagement? Is it that peer-to-peer, or is it financial? Is it something else, especially from an internal communications perspective?
Yeah, I personally, from my experience, I wouldn't say that there is one more effective than the other, right? What I would say, though, is that what really works is when you have a mix. You have a mix of everything. You don't just have the focus on one or the other. It's a mix of everything. And also, I found that's quite helpful, is when the employee is able to choose for themselves, right? So obviously with the monetary one, they choose, that's theirs. But for example, I know, like from my experience, I've worked in organizations where they've had platforms, for example, and if somebody was recognized from a colleague, they get points, and then they can redeem their points to buy gifts, or they can, you know, for some people, it's not about that. It's about experiences. They cherish the time with their loved ones. So they might redeem points against experiences that they can have and memories that they can create. In my previous career, I've worked on campaigns where in order to recognize employees for joining a specific program, right, to thank everyone that we did, we basically donated for them to have a tree developed in a country of their choice, or they get to choose a country out of the options that were available. So leaning on that sustainability piece. So, and that was close to their heart. So for me, it's more about having, nothing is effective than the other. I think it's just having a choice that people can go to and that, you know, essentially people can use. For some organizations as well, might be helpful. Don't just assume that you think that what people like and what could be effective. Ask your employees. Ask them what they like. Ask them what's close to them. Now, you might not, you know, you can't help everyone and serve everyone. You know, it is what it is, but at least you've asked. And then that will probably help you to have a bit more of a diversification of what you offer in terms of your rewards.
Yeah. You can't solve every problem and you can't offer every reward, you can make things that are more personal to them. So that's such a great breakdown of the different types of rewards and different types of motivation. It really shows how internal comms plays a huge role in keeping recognition programs engaging. And now recognition is a big part of engagement, but when you're working in, I would say, a multinational company like Beasley, does recognition look different depending on the region, or should recognition strategies differ based on cultural context, or is there a universal approach that works everywhere?
I would say, I think, take Beasley, for example, you know, we are global, but we show up as one no matter where we are, right? So there's rewards or programs that are across the board that will work for everyone. But what is good is that it's consistent. Everyone knows how to show up, how to exemplify the behaviors and everything that will get recognized, right? But I will say that, you know, having worked in bigger organizations in my previous life before I joined Beasley, there will be cultural nuances because of, and that's just the nature of it, right? There's things that might mean different things in different cultures, etc. And so those contexts will need to be, I guess, considered. The strategy is more you can have something, but allowing it to be flexible. So like if I go back to say, for example, the gifts, if employees want to redeem experiences as gifts, of course that's going to be different because you can't have the same experiences, you see, or the same even gifts or providers, etc. So you have to take those into consideration. Also, you know, let's be honest, sometimes there's legal constraints, or there might be other factors that you can't offer this or you can offer this. So I think just if you do have like a bigger organization, global organization, you would be silly not to have that cultural context in the back of your mind, asking those questions, but then tapping into the experts that are on the ground there, right? Saying, okay, well, what do you think this works? Don't just assume. Yeah, that's what I would say.
Completely agree. And I'm hearing you talk about the experts in executive management. I'm wondering, how does leadership buy-in, is this crucial to any engagement effort? How important is leadership involvement in recognition efforts, and how can leaders effectively model recognition behaviors?
I think recognition culture and efforts, it's everyone's responsibility. Like it is, because sometimes how can you ask someone to recognize you if you're not even going to do it to someone else? That to me sounds a bit crazy, but essentially it does start from the top of what that looks like and how do I need to show up and behave. So I think how leaders can model this behavior, for me, especially in my job where I get to ask these difficult questions and get people thinking, I always ask, how do you show interactions amongst your own peer group, between each other? Do you even do that? And if so, what does that look like? Do you just say thank you when you see each other? Or is there something that can be done to show the organization that is what is happening at the top, so then it can be cascaded down and translated down? A good example is if we have town halls or team meetings and you've done a good piece of work on something or collaborated with another team. Are you showcasing that outwardly to everyone and saying thank you and recognizing a peer as a leader for their hard work, for their team's hard work, as opposed to getting together on a quarter with just your team. Have you invited the other teams in just to have a chat or to show that this is just more than, you know, lip service, if you like? So yeah, I think ultimately the answer is just demonstrating exactly what they want employees to do for themselves. And that's it. I don't think it needs to be too difficult. I think that that's what it is. Demonstrate what you are asking people to do for themselves.
Great pieces of advice. But now let's jump into talking about the results. What were the outcomes of your incentive program and how did you measure the success of your initiatives and what metrics did you use to gauge their impact on employee engagement?
Yes. So going back, so everyone's favorite topic of results and measurement, I would say starting off when you're having inventing a new plan, if you like, or bringing in a new plan, because we just had to go off what the market rate was. And, you know, when we looked at what success looked like, we look at, well, what's employee engagement, how many people are signing up, et cetera. And to say we actually exceeded what we had thought. So from a UK perspective, we had about 45.7% of employees actually sign up to the new plan, which is fantastic. And then we saw for our international employees, about 20% had taken up on the new plan too. So that was really, really good news. And in fact, so much so that we even got recognized for a ProShare award in 2024, which is great. And I'm really looking forward to seeing when we roll this out again and seeing how we can compare and increase those numbers, doing some more. Enhancing some more stuff that we've already done. So that's great. And I would say what has been really interesting because of that level of take up we saw, because remember I said there was also other plan, we also have other plans, right? So we actually saw an increase, a 40% increase in the other plan that was actually we rolled out for another year. So that was quite nice. It was nice that people were able to compare and contrast the different plans and make an informed decision for themselves again. So I think that's really good. And what it showed you is that employees genuinely wanted to have some part to play in our success and wanted to feel part of Beazley. And I think that's really, really nice. And one thing I would say to my fellow internal communications professionals on the line is, you know, yeah, the numbers are great and everything. Engagement for me was also about listening to the questions that were asked during the process. What was the feedback that we were getting? And not just writing it down and keep a note of it till next year. No, we used those questions and developed FAQs. And so we kept signposting to them. So they kept developing. And then what we did, any of those questions, any sessions that we had, we made sure that was the agenda items and they were covered for next time, which was really, really helpful. So people generally throughout the whole campaign felt heard and we were answering their questions straight off, you know, rather than waiting and, you know, and all that stuff. So I would say a tip is make sure you gather those questions and feed them back into your content where you can, because that's really, really helpful. And trust me, saves you a lot of time down the line.
Really, congratulations on all the hard work that you've done and the award that you got. I think you should be accoladed for that. Thank you. But now that we're coming close to the end, I find that there are maybe three key lessons that you potentially learned from this experience. Could you share with us the internal comms leaders who are out there and they're trying to implement a similar type of engagement strategy could do?
Three key lessons that I think I learned from rolling out this specific SharePlan campaign is, you know, learning from the experts and really trusting their expertise. And I'm sure, you know, as a comms professional, you know, like I said earlier, we don't necessarily know all the technicalities, but we do know our stuff in terms of advising strategically about how this message will land and how employees will feel about it. So yeah, I think what really helps is just learning from the experts, but trusting each other to do what you're here to do. Okay. So that really, really, really worked out well. And planning ahead, I think, you know, having regular calls, planning ahead, making sure everyone can feed in where they can onto the plan, but essentially just trusting in each other's expertise. I think the second key learning is trust, you know, don't be scared. Use multimedia where you can. Keep your message clear, concise. Get rid of all that jargon if you don't need it. Like we had a tagline which complemented our previous plan. So where it makes sense, add on to things you may already have. And if you don't, try something different. There's loads of materials and things that you can find online, loads of studies, loads of resources, etc. So yeah, I would say where it makes sense, create something new. But if you're in a big organization, I'm sure this stuff has been done before, you know, adapt it, make it make sense for yourself. And I would say the third thing I learned, which I always have in mind, just having worked and continuing to work, you know, in global company, just always have in the back of your mind, you know, those global nuances, always have this as a consideration. Do things need to be said differently? If so, do things need to be translated differently? Factor that into your plan. How long will that take, etc.? Because that could also delay your launch, etc. So just always have that in your mind and feed that into your plans as you're developing your campaigns.
Fantastic, thank you. And Rochelle, this conversation has really been packed with insights, real life strategies for making recognition and reward programs really work. So I really appreciate it, and I love how you highlighted the importance of leadership involvement, clear communication, and using the right channels, not just more channels is what it sounds like. But before we go, we always ask our guests one additional question. Can you share a book or a film that has recently inspired you lately?
Yes, I would say this is a book that I've had for some time now, but it's always like my go-to, especially, you know, doing internal communications. And it's the second edition of the Successful Employee Communications book. And it's like a practitioner's guide and has lots of tools and guides and case studies. And it's by Sue Dewhurst and a good friend of mine, Liam Fitzpatrick. Essentially, it's just my go-to when I need a bit of inspiration or, you know, or reminded, if I need a bit of a reminder, I have a little block of where to go next and how to approach particular activity or particular situation when it comes to communications. I really recommend it to your listeners if they haven't read it already, but it's definitely a good starter, I feel, for those who just need that outside view, like a neutral space of how to approach communication activities and what to ask before we go into and jump into executing and problem solving, as we love to do. So yeah, I would recommend Successful Employee Communications.
It sounds like that's really a fantastic recommendation. So I appreciate that. We'll have to check it out. So Rochelle, it's been a pleasure having you on the show. Thank you so much for sharing your expertise.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
And to our listeners, if you've enjoyed this episode, follow us on LinkedIn and subscribe to Masters of Comms for more expert insights. This was Masters of Comms, the podcast for transformative communication techniques straight from the pros. Find us here for the next episode. See you soon.